Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to dedicate this service to Him in prayer right now. Father, we thank You that Your Spirit is alive, that Jesus is alive, and Your Spirit indwells us, the Spirit of Christ, and makes us alive. We thank You for this day of celebration, and we thank You for those that have gathered here today to celebrate Your resurrection. And Lord, we just want to dedicate this service to You. We pray that You would be honored and glorified in everything that is sung and everything that is said and everything that is done here this morning. For we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm going to ask Bill Steffens if he'd come right away. He's got some special music for us. Let's open up our hearts today. We have a lot of specials, and we're going to do some singing, and we're just going to have a joyous time in the presence of the Lord today.
I'd like to say I love the Lord. Just suppose God had searched through heaven and He couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. And I'm so glad He was willing to drink His bitter cup, although He prayed, "Father, let it pass from me." And I'm so glad He didn't call heaven's angels, "From these hands, pull these nails that torment me." Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Then forever my soul would be lost. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. How I loved that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to an old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Old rugged cross, I will ever be true, its sin and reproach gladly bear. he'll take me someday to my home far away, where forever his glory I'll share, and I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to an old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
You know, there was a question asked at the end of that video that the young people did. Statement made, there were two thieves, something like two thieves, one on either side. One believed and one denied him, mocked him. Which one am I? I guess that's the question for every one of us to ask today, and we need an answer to that. Which one are you? The one that mocked him or the one that believed in him? Ask yourselves that question. Don't leave without answering it. Hallelujah.
If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. If that spirit dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. If that spirit dwell in you, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. If that spirit dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. If that spirit dwell in you,
one more time.
If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you,
does it dwell in you?
Dwell in you. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. If that spirit dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. If that spirit dwell in you.
Hallelujah. You know, this is what the death is all about. The resurrection is all about. It's the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for us, for our sins, for our redemption. He came forth from the grave alive, and that's what we're celebrating today, the resurrection of our Savior. Hallelujah. And it's His blood that we are washed, and we are under His blood. Hallelujah.
Oh, the blood of the Passover Lamb is applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. Though Satan will bring accusation, I let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
I'm under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the blood of the Passover Lamb is applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. Though Satan will bring accusations, I let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
I'm under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I cover the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand, amen. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
One more time.
No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah. You may be seated.
This piece is sung a cappella. It has an accompaniment, but we weren't able to prepare that for today. And it's a little bit different, I guess. It talks about, of course, Jesus' crucifixion, but to me, it gave a different aspect of his crucifixion because it talks about how his mother would have grieved, but still, through all his pain on the cross, that was the worst pain to him to know that, you know, about us. Even through all the physical pain he was going through, he's still thinking about the people.
The cry of the firstborn, they began to crucify thee, O swan. Never shall a man cease because of that. It was like the parting of day from night. Oh, so was the suffering born by the body of Mary's Son. But sorrow still to him was the grief which for his sake came upon his mother.
Thank you, Debbie.
Dream for her little girl, and my face may not grace the mind of everyone in the world, but that's all right as long as I can have one wish. I pray when people look inside my life, I want the words to say, She's got her father's eyes, her father's eyes. Eyes that find the good in things when good is not around. Eyes that find the source of help when help just can't be found. Eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes. Just like my father's eyes. And on that day when we will pay for all the deeds we've done, good and bad, they'll all be had to see by everyone. And when you're called to stand and tell just what you saw in me, more than anything I know, I want your words to be. She had her father's eyes, her father's eyes. Eyes that found the good in things when good was not around. Eyes that found the source of help when help would not be found. Eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes. Just like my father's eyes.
The battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I've given it all to you. I knew not what to do. I'm so glad you let me see. You're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. The battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I've given it all to you. I knew not what to do. I'm so glad you let me see. You're really all that I need, for the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. For the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine.
Thank you, Diane. Diana.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah.
bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes.
He arose, the victor, from the dark domain,
and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
He arose.
Arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
Hallelujah!
He arose, he arose. Hallelujah!
Christ arose. Let's do the chorus one more time.
He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the victory you gave us over the grave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you came forth. Death could not hold you down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Christ alone.
Fairly new song for a lot of you. Pretty easy. It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. He put us above everything else. Hallelujah.
were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Hallelujah.
Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me. Above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me. Rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall,
thank you, Lord,
and thought of me.
Above like a rose,
like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall,
thank you, Jesus,
and thought of me.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day that we celebrate, that you took the fall and thought of me above all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Great and awesome God. Mighty King of Kings. Hallelujah. before him, despising the shame. He went willingly to the cross, gave up his life, a ransom for me. Hallelujah. Glorious Lord. Oh, Jesus, the sweet rose of Sharon. Sweet rose of Sharon. You took the fall.
But I'm reading to you from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, the first six verses of that chapter. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." You may be seated.
I need, by way of explanation, Bill, we have a lot of the same taste in songs. We chose the same song you did to sing, so we're switching right now, which Barb isn't very happy about, but bear with us. I was talking to my daughter last night, and she was telling me they got a new book from some friends of theirs, and the title was Peter's First Easter, I think, and that just that phrase has been going through my mind all morning, and I kept thinking, you know, he betrayed Christ three times before that first Easter. I wouldn't have wanted to be here and be him on that first Easter. And I keep thinking, you know, we all betray him in our own ways sometimes. And it's just something to think about. It's, the song we're going to sing is "Who Am I?"
Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. It's then I ask myself this question: who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Just be true wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles till they're won, for who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer may never know why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?
Lord. Thank you, ladies. My text this morning is what I read just a few minutes ago. I'd like to repeat just a couple of those verses. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Before I begin, I would like to welcome those of you that are visiting with us. It's a joy to have you in the service today. Hope that you've been blessed and will be blessed during the remainder of this service together today. Bob Bennett wrote this poem. In the still of a Sunday morning, a grave stands open wide, and a promise kept while the world slept means that no one is inside. Today in this Easter season, we are called upon to think of a number of things. I would like to draw your attention today to stones and tombs. They make us think of death and hopefully life as well. A Sunday school kindergarten teacher was trying to determine how much religious training her new students had. She found one five-year-old boy who knew absolutely nothing about the story of Jesus. She began to relate to him Jesus on the cross. When he asked what a cross was, she picked up some sticks and, fashioning a crude cross, she told him that Jesus had been nailed to a cross and had died. The little boy, with eyes downcast, quietly said, "Oh, that's too bad." But then the teacher quickly related that Christ rose again and came back to life. Hearing that, the little boy's eyes got as big as saucers. His face lit up and he exclaimed, "Totally awesome." Well, it's totally awesome when you stop and think about it. The place of the skull has become a throne. Evil had its best chance to defeat God and couldn't do it. The victory is God's, and God wants us to share in that victory with him. God is on both sides of the grave. Think about that this morning. That saying just fills my heart with joy. God is on both sides of the grave. He is on this side of the grave. He is with you in life. But when the day comes and you pass from life to death, God will be on the other side of the grave as well. He's there on both sides. His resurrection proves that he's on both sides of the grave. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. First of all, I want us to consider stone-covered tombs. Verse 3, they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of that tomb?" As the women made their way to anoint the body of Jesus, the question that they were pondering all the way there was, who will roll away the stone for us? How are we ever going to get inside of that tomb to anoint the body of Jesus? You see, the stone was a barrier. It was going to keep them from doing what they had come to do. anoint the body of Jesus. They brought spices that they might go into the tomb and anoint him. But the stone was there. The stone stood as a hindrance. It blocked them from getting in. See, the stone was there to keep people out, not to keep people in. They weren't too worried about a dead person getting out. But they were worried about, namely in this particular case, the disciples of Jesus getting in and stealing the body. And so they found a stone that was heavier than even usually they would get, and they moved this stone in front of the tomb. Do you know that people still have stones that keep Jesus out? There are still people today that have stones that keeps them from embracing the things of the Lord. Stones are still covering tombs today. There are things that are keeping Jesus out. And I dare say to you today that there are some in this audience, some of you that are hearing this message this morning, and there are things in your life that are keeping Jesus out. You have decided that some things in your life are going to be a barrier that will keep Jesus at a distance. I've asked for 6 volunteers this morning. Would you 6 please come up here? Just come on up here. These guys are going to have stones guarding their hearts. Let me just share with you this morning some of the stones that we put in front of our heart to keep God away. There's hardened hearts. Some people's hearts are just so hardened that they don't let Jesus get close to them. They don't let him soften their heart. A hardened heart, according to the scripture, is a heart that has unbelief in it. Unbelief. A hardened heart is because of unbelief. There are other stones. There are stones of unconfessed sin. When we have sin in our life, it's like our heart becomes hard and Jesus cannot give inside of us. And we carry this confessed sin and it blocks Jesus. It keeps him away. There's stones of indifference. Some people are really indifferent to the things of God. If you're able to sit here this morning and listen to those songs being sung and not really join in the singing yourself, you're indifferent to all of that, I want you to know today that you have a hard heart. You have a stony heart. God wants to penetrate that. He wants to knock down that, but you're indifferent today. There are stones of bitterness. We set up bitterness and unforgiveness toward others, and that is like a barrier. It's like a hardened heart, a stoned heart that keeps God away. There are stones of anger and hatred, and there are stones of complacency. We're just at ease. We are complacent with things as they are. We really don't want to get closer to God. God might demand something of us, and so we are very complacent about the things of the Lord. These are self-imposed stones that act as tombs that keep the life of God from us. They act as barriers to keep God out. They stop God from doing what he wants to do in our lives. Yes, there are stones in front of tombs today. Some of you might have stones in front of your heart. I want you to know today that tombs are for the dead. Tombs are for dead people. The women came to anoint the dead body of Jesus. Tombs contain that which is dead, not that which is living. And to be quite honest with you today, if you have a stone, if you have a tomb in front of your heart that is blocking Jesus, the path that Jesus wants to take to get in, to be honest with you today, if there's no life of Christ, you're dead. Romans 3:13 says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23:27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within, full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also will outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. It doesn't matter how much you polish these stones up and how white and clean they may look on the outside, it's the inside that really counts. It's the inside that matters. These tombs were used apparently again and again. The Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John report that the tomb that Jesus was laid in was a new tomb. It gives the impression that these tombs were used over and over again. Jesus was just the first one to use this tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. In the same way, sin, if we are not careful, will consume us. The unbelief will consume us. The indifference will consume us. And it will make a tomb full of rottenness and deadness. You know, the sin which we will commit over and over again. And the iniquities that we commit will pass on to succeeding generations. Sin brings death. The stone keeps Jesus out. But in verse 4 of chapter 16, the women came and they looked and they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. As the women approached the tomb, they discovered, to their amazement, that the stone had been rolled away. The question this morning is, how did that stone get rolled away? Who moved that stone? The answer is, God did. God did it. God rolled away that stone. Matthew 28:2 says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." How will the stones get rolled away from our lives? The answer is, God will do it. You can't do it. You can't do it yourself. The stone is too heavy. Your sin is too weighty. Your iniquities are too great. But God, if you give him the chance, if you give him the opportunity, he will come and he will roll away the stones in our lives. I'm glad that God is still rolling stones. He's still taking the bitterness and the anger and the hatred and the indifference. He's taking those things out of our lives and is replacing it with the things that he wants to put in there. God is still moving stones. And God wants to come and he wants to take your heart of stone and instead give you a heart of flesh. He wants to take away the stone so that he can get into the heart and he can make your heart what he wants it to be. Jesus wants to get in so that he can change your wicked heart into a clean heart. He wants to change your double heart into a pure heart. He wants to change your foolish heart into a wise and understanding heart. He wants to change your hard heart into a contrite heart. He wants to change your proud heart into a meek heart. He wants to change your lean heart into a large heart. He wants to change your unbelieving heart into a faithful heart. He wants to change your deceived heart into a sound heart. He wants to change your discouraged heart into a merry heart. He wants to change your whorish heart into a perfect heart. And he will do it if you have the opportunity. He is coming and he is still rolling stones away. And when the stones are rolled away, Jesus has the opportunity to come in and he has the chance to do what he wants to do in your heart. Will you give him the chance? Thank you. You are great. You may be seated. When the stone is rolled away, Jesus will be there. Jesus will be there. I can't think of anything greater in my life, think about it, than to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords personally concerned about me. On both sides of the grave, he's with us. He's with us in life, and he's with us in death, and he's with us for all eternity. I beg you, if you have not done so, roll away the stone and let Jesus in. Let Jesus Christ come into your heart. Empty tombs represent risen lives. Look at verses 5 and 6 if you have your Bibles open. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." The women entered and encountered not a tomb of the dead, but an empty tomb that speaks of life. Jesus was not dead, but alive. And I want you to know today that he is waiting and wanting to breathe life into our empty tombs. He wants to breathe life into you. I'd like to relate to you an amazing story that took place in the city of atheism, one of the most tombed and spiritually dead places in all the earth. As vice president, when he was Vice President George Bush, he represented the United States at the funeral of former Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev. Bush was deeply moved by a silent protest carried out by Brezhnev's widow. She stood motionless by the coffin until seconds before it was closed. Then, just as the soldiers touched the lid, Brezhnev's wife performed an act of courage and hope, a gesture that will surely rank as one of the most profound acts of civil disobedience ever committed. She reached down and she made the sign of the cross on her husband's chest. There in the citadel of secular atheistic power, the wife of a man who had run it all had hoped that her husband was wrong. She hoped that there was another life. She hoped that there was life beyond the grave. And she hoped that that life was best represented by Jesus, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, and that that same Jesus might yet have mercy on her husband. I want you to know today that if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are dead while you still live. 1 Timothy 5:6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Understand that God wants to quicken you today. God wants to make you alive. Some are here, you were dead, but now you have been made alive. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I love this part. God who is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were tombs, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's living, folks. You have not begun to live until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and until you've been promoted into a presence, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There's going to be an all of eternity for God to show us the riches of his grace and mercy and love. Paul said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And in Romans 6:10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Here's your part. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The tomb of Christ is still empty. He is still alive, and he wants to enter into the tomb of your life and leave them empty so that he can replace it and he can fill it with his presence. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? He wants you to have life in him. He wants to take out the dead bones. He wants to take out the rottenness. He wants to leave it empty so that he can come in and give you himself, his life, his eternal life. Is there anybody here this morning, by an uplifted hand, you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I have had a stone in front of my heart, and I have kept Jesus out. This morning, I realize that I am dead while I yet live. I am dead because I have not asked Jesus to come inside of me and give me life. Is there anybody here, just by an uplifted hand? Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need my sins washed away. I need to have life eternal. Is there anybody here? I'm not going to embarrass anybody this morning, but I would like to see your hand, and I would like to pray for you. Anybody here? Would you raise your hand, Pastor? I've not done this before. I've not received Jesus as my Savior, but I want to. I want to receive Him today. I want to receive Him. I want to invite Him in today. I want Him to roll back the stone and enter in with eternal life. Is that you? Is that you? And maybe you're here today, and maybe at a point in time, you asked Jesus into your life. But everybody look at me. Look up. This stone is put in front of your heart. You've let your own desires, and you've let lukewarmness, complacency, and you've let unbelief, and you've let selfishness, and you've let pride, and all kinds of things be a stone, be a hindrance from Jesus having His way with you. I want to encourage you today, Jesus rolls away the stones. He's still rolling away stones, and He wants to roll away the stone from your heart today. He wants to do it. He wants to come in. He wants to have a relationship with you. You'll be singing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," if you do it. I'll promise you that. If you do it, you will never be sorry. You will never regret that. You're here today and you admit there are stones. Maybe you consider yourself even a good Christian, but yet you know that there are things that you have put up as barriers. There are stones, and you have not let Jesus come in completely and have His complete will and His freedom, His fullness in your life. Anybody here today? Pastor, pray for me. I set up a stone. There is a barrier. Jesus cannot have His way with me because I've set up stones. Can I see your hands? Come on, be honest today. Amen. Amen. Be honest. You are missing out on the greatest relationship you could ever have. It has not even entered your imagination the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. The more we let Him in, the more blessed our life will be. The more complete, the more filling it will be. Would you join me in prayer? Father, forgive me. Forgive me for setting up the stones. Forgive me for setting up the barriers. Lord, take my hardened heart and soften it. Lord, take my complacency. Make a difference where there is indifference. Give me grace to confess unconfessed sin. Give me the power to overcome bitterness. Lord, roll away the stone of hatred and replace it with Your perfect love. Lord, roll away the stone of complacency and energize us beyond complacency. Change our hearts, Lord. Change our hearts. Roll away the stones. Do the miraculous. Lord, we confess today, we admit that the stones are too heavy. The sin is too weighty. The iniquities are too great. But Lord, thank You. You're rolling away stones today. You're rolling away stones. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for rolling away the stones. Thank You for coming in and giving us life. Thank You, Lord, for the abundance of life. You've come not only to give us life, but that more abundantly. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to actually sing a chorus that we sang. Okay, Victory in Jesus. Let's do that.
355.
355. Go ahead.
Can we stand while we sing? You know, I have no idea who raised their hands. This is your song. This is your song. Hallelujah. Bless You, Lord.
I heard an old song.
story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I've heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I've repented of my sin and won the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Thank you, Lord. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. To see, and then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his precious blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. The song of victory, victory, hallelujah. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing. One more time. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Hallelujah.
He wants to make sure he sees everybody before you get out of here. Hallelujah.
I'm so glad for this day. This day is such a precious day. The new life in Christ. And it's this day that we celebrate the resurrection of that new life. Hallelujah. Lord, we just rejoice in the life that you live. Lord, and thank you that you do tend to us on both sides of the grave. Hallelujah. What a comfort to know. What a comfort to know that you're with us as we walk this path today. And Lord, you're with us as we step over into eternity. You're there too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you've made provision, complete provision. Lord, we just ask you to be with us in a vivid way, Lord, that it would be so evident to everyone around us that you're walking with us and we're walking with you. Lord, teach us your ways, that we would completely trust in you and place our hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Be with us now as we go about and celebrate this day with family and friends and traveling on the road, people coming to visit. Lord, watch over everyone. But Lord, draw everyone close to you. Father, that as they come and celebrate this Easter day, that the resurrection would become real in every heart. Father, thank you for the hands that were lifted here today and the victory that was won from that. Bless you now, Lord, and we ask you to go with us. Amen. Hallelujah.